Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, tell me why you hurry so. Hush, you vocal, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bear orders from the captain, get you ready quick and soon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, where the gathering is to be. In the old spot by the river, right well known to you and me. Signal token, whistle up the marching tune, for your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, with your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon.
It's Friday, January the 14th. I'm Douglas Morrison, and this is Radio Free Northwest.
Like the man, she's lonely croon, and a thousand blades were flashing at the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon, and a thousand blades were flashing at the rising of the moon.
Well, I'm told it's Martin Luther King Day soon. I don't know. Some point, apparently. So I wanted to share a little bit about Martin Luther King Jr. because this is a guy who is burned into the American consciousness, branded a saint, a martyr, a hero to all. Martin Luther King Jr., whose real name is Michael King, no middle name, he just adopted the name Martin Luther to make that association with the real Martin Luther, which should offend the hell out of every Christian, at least Protestants. He came from a very comfortable middle-class family of Southern Black Baptist preachers. His parents were college-educated, and the family lived on Auburn Avenue, which was known as Black Wall Street. Young Michael received a university education, getting a doctorate degree in philosophy and theology. But in gathering for publication in the late 80s, the editors of Stanford University's Martin Luther King Jr. Papers Project discovered extensive plagiarism in his academic papers, including his 1955 dissertation at Boston University. When Boston University founded a commission to look into it, they found that 66% of his dissertation was stolen. Although this is clear counterfeiting, the university insisted that no thought should be given to revoking King's doctoral degree. Oh, heavens no. In addition to his dissertation and large sections of his books, many of his major speeches, including the famous "I Have a Dream" speech, were plagiarized. So he was very much against unearned white man's privilege, but he lied and cheated and counterfeited and misrepresented and stole in order to gain his academic credentials. Now, the vast majority of his intellectual work was done by other people, including his Jewish communist speechwriters. He was a liar and a thief, among other things, which I will get to. He was a big fan of racial quotas, so much so that in his book, Where Do We Go From Here?, he said that a society that has done something special against the Negro for hundreds of years must now do something special for him to equip him to compete on an equal basis. He organized boycotts on businesses that he felt were not hiring enough niggers. He was also a big fan of reparations. He wrote, "No amount of gold could provide an adequate compensation for the exploitation and humiliation of the Negro in America through the centuries. Not all the wealth of this affluent society could meet the bill. Yet, a price can be placed on unpaid wages." So he wanted billions and billions of dollars to be stolen at gunpoint from white people who never owned slaves and given to niggers who never were slaves. Who ran the slave trade? Who enforced slavery? Not Whitey. It was the state that picked up the slaves who ran away. It was also the largely Jewish slave owners who paid people to go and find the slaves who ran away. America, white Christian Americans, ended slavery. Slavery still goes on all over the world, not in white countries, but we're the only ones who have to pay for it. Oh, but he was a good Christian family man, right? He was a father of four kids. Didn't really seem to take a huge amount of interest in them. He certainly didn't provide for them, despite winning the equivalent of $400,000 at 35 when he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And he didn't provide for his kids when he died either. He died without a will, even though he'd had multiple assassination attempts. He left nothing for his family. He had no money. Wasn't a provider. If we're being honest, he was economically illiterate. But, you know, cocaine and prostitutes are expensive. And that brings us to the extensive interracial extramarital affairs. A lot of these records were sealed, but they are apparently going to be unsealed in 2027. But you can read the stories of cocaine-fueled sex parties and hooker orgies in King's best friend and right-hand man, Ralph Abernathy's autobiography, The Walls Came Tumbling Down. FBI even sent an audio tape of King during one of his affairs with a prostitute to his wife Coretta Scott, along with a note saying King should commit suicide or they would reveal far worse. He had dozens and dozens of affairs, and those are just the ones that were caught on FBI audio tapes. They have tapes of him saying and doing extraordinarily raunchy sexual things. He once said, in defense of his bottomless lust, "Look, I'm on the road 27, 28 days a month, and fucking is good stress relief." I mean, that's his words, not mine. He was a typical sex addict. Even Jackie Kennedy admitted she knew about it. In an interview, she says that Bobby Kennedy told her the FBI had recorded King trying to arrange an orgy on the night before the march on Washington in August of 63. She said, "I can't see a picture of Martin Luther King without thinking, you know, that man King was calling up all these young girls and arranging for an orgy, you know, that man's terrible." And, of course, she knew something about the sex addicts being married to John F. Kennedy. "Oh, but he was an advocate for nonviolent social change." Yeah, please. He advocated for laws to strip white people of their freedom of association. Laws which mean that if you don't obey the laws of forced integration, then men with guns will knock not so politely at your house and drag you away and try you, and if you're found guilty of evil racism, terrible things will happen to you in prison cells with savage niggers in the dark of night. So pardon me if I don't have the same reverence for this vile monkey who promoted government coercion and violence against my ancestors to solve social, racial, and economic problems that wouldn't exist if Lincoln had shipped them back to where they came from. You're not really into nonviolence if you just pay somebody else to do your violence for you. And the state, at its base, is a monopoly on the use of force. Speaking of state power, let's talk a little bit about the lefty stuff. He never openly said he was a Marxist, but according to a number of people, he did say that he was a Marxist privately. You know, it's hard in this day and age to understand what a clear and present danger communism was, because they won. And they took over every aspect of American life, but back then there were still some Americans in government. But there were literally hundreds of communist spies just at the State Department. McCarthy didn't know the half of it. Communists had infiltrated the highest levels of the U.S. government. King was also a trained Marxist communist. He attended Marxist training at the Highlander School with Rosa Parks. You remember her, The nigger who refused to sit at the back of the bus? Yeah, trained Marxist. You know, it's really tough to maintain these baloney injustice stories without state power, and the state has turned these two communist niggers into literal saints, objects of worship to the liberals and conservatives alike. Martin Luther King and the majority of these black leaders were communists. They weren't nonviolent. They just wanted the power of the state to legitimize their violence. And now they are state heroes because the communists won. King sold out his own people to achieve the communist goal of acquiring more state power. This is fundamentally why he is still revered and praised despite his extraordinary personal failings. He was simply an excuse to expand communist power, and that's why he was funded by Jews and had all his speeches written by Jews. He was just an actor. The Republicans and Democrats are just an audience for the motion picture the Jews call politics. There are no political solutions. Walk out of the theater and never come back, or you will forever be their paying customers.
Well, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it seemed appropriate to play some of the Rockwell-era Hatin' Nanny recordings. This is Johnny Rebel with Ship Those Niggers Back.
Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. Gather all those equals up and herd them on the pier. America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. 20 million ugly comes already on the pier.
In there, man, I ain't gonna get on that boat. Look like that boat leaked to me, man. Oh, man,
you're
the best white man ever,
but
here I come.
America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. Boats are ready for the trip, we won't shed a tear.
Seems like nobody don't love us nice colored folks anymore.
America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. And that chimp is ugly stick, and that buck is spear.
Just a minute there, man, I just got my bottle of wine back me on the dock. Oh, man!
America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. 20 million jigaboos, Africa will steer.
How we gonna find Africa, man? We ain't got no compass. How we gonna find that island, man? Oh,
America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. There they go, pour out to sea, see them disappear.
Hello, hello back there on the dock. I believe this boat is leaking, man.
America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. Boats are leaking badly now, this sink we sadly fear.
Help! Help! Please take it
out! America for white, Africa for black. Send those apes back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. No more niggers, civil rights, led by nigger queer. America for white, Africa for black. Send old Abe back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. Our homes, our schools, our cities, streets of niggers will be clear. America for white, Africa for black. Send those eight back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ring that bell, shout for joy, white man's day is here. America will be all white, the land we love so dear. America for white, Africa for black. Send those eight back to the tree, ship those niggers back. Ship those niggers back. Ship those niggers back.
Hello friends, Comrade John here. I'm a longtime supporter of the Front and a new contributor to Radio Free Northwest. Energized by the return of the Front, encouraged by its new youthful candor, and compelled by my conscience to contribute to the Butler Plan's success, I'm here before you now. Please forgive any mistakes. I'm new to professional oration. Introductions aside, what I wanted to talk to you all about today is how do we go the distance? How do we finally reach that mirage of white physical resistance on the horizon? What resources do we need to do it? What do we need to do, personally, each and every day to get there? As daunting a question as that might be, in my analysis, I've actually found everything we need is right within reach. The investigator's curse. It was right under our noses the whole time. What we need to win against the beast is simple. We need men, we need muscle, and most importantly, we need music. I know, it sounds asinine in the face of the difficulties our movement has faced, but the three M's are all we need to bring it off. First of all, we need men. We need them here in the homeland. We need them in the cities. We need them along the coast. We need them deep in the mountains, and we need them scattered across the port towns, foggy forests, and high peaks of the Northwest. We need a man and his friends in every sleepy little town in the homeland. And despite the need for as many men as we can muster, we require a certain type of man exclusively. We need pioneers. We need men who can go first into uncertainty, who can build alone and with a small number of trusted friends. We need men who move mountains, not in one fell swoop, but one stone at a time, tirelessly. We need men who understand the lifetime of dedicated, intelligent service they owe their race. To win a colonial war, the kind of war we intend to wage, you need more than safe houses, printing presses, and money. You need the right man, in the right place, at the right time. That place is the Pacific Northwest. That time is now, and that man is you. Right now, what the Front needs most is you. Your best you. Clear-headed, fit, ready to serve and to lead. Ready to become the vocal, dedicated minority that changes history time and time again. If we have you, the rest will follow. When we have the men, we'll also need the muscle. Your physical fitness is paramount, but muscle in this context isn't just about your delts and your quads. It's about your mental fortitude, your savvy, your charm, and your understanding of yourself and nature's laws. Past the self, it's also about the organization's strength. Staffed by the aforementioned pioneers, the organization will strive to be a flexible, resilient, shared effort to grow our communities and to prepare those communities for the struggle ahead. It's our end of the bargain here at the Front to hold up, and we swear to do our best at meeting those goals. Muscle also means an organization's resources. The Front needs a friendly meeting place in every town it visits, whether that be a coffee shop, bookstore, gym with a back room, etc. These places don't have to be ones we slither in and out of either. They can be ones, and should be ones, owned and operated by you. You should endeavor not just to come home, but to become an essential fixture of your community. Provide an essential service for white well-being, and cultivate much-needed resources for resistance in the meantime. Shelter, food, transportation, money, and you know what. It's all on the menu, and the revolution's appetite is endless. Strive to make yourself unfireable and to provide an essential service to your community and to the Front. Our end of the bargain is we'll help bring these services to you, too. Trusted doctors, trusted mechanics, trusted plumbers, painters, builders, and trusted friends. That's what we're striving to build here at the front. Thirdly, and most importantly, once you have the men and the muscle to exert some influence locally and nationally, you'll need the music. Music is culture, art, literature, and, of course, song. To bolster our resiliency against the beast's mental weapons in the form of degenerate music, movies, and books, as a revolutionary gesture to the spiritual wasteland of the modern world, and pragmatically as a propaganda tool for the front, we must produce and sponsor professional, competent, excellent Aryan culture, both locally and worldwide. Coming home doesn't mean leaving our storied past behind us. In fact, it's often all we carry with us but the shirts on our back these days. We can use this new, burgeoning pro-white renaissance in art, literature, and moving pictures to give people something to hold on to as our world gets ever darker, as the struggle gets ever harder, in the darkest, dankest jail cell that we may end up in during this struggle. We must have something to hold on to, something that can never be taken away. Culture is that expression of inner strength. It's the inextinguishable ember of life and love we all carry within us that shines when we're at our best. Once an organization, a shared effort, a people have these three things, they are no longer a mass of downtrodden colonial subjects. A people, imbued with these resources, led competently and selflessly, are capable of changing the world. They're absolutely capable of excising Jewish power from their homelands. We here at the front will endeavor to hold up our end of the bargain, and all we ask of you is your best self, in person. Make your scouting trip, line up that remote job, or start calling around to local shops. White businesses here need a hand, and we certainly do too. Make your way to the Northwest, and we'll be there to meet you when you get here. Until then, this is Comrade John. For our musical break, something a little different from the usual Radio Free Northwest fare. This is one of my favorite bands, Tennis. They're a husband and wife duo that sing almost exclusively about the benefits, complications, and surreality of committed monogamous relationships. Pretty rare these days. This is their song, Needle and a Knife, off their 2014 album, Ritual in Repeat.
She
Recently, I saw a clip of No White Guilt, Jason Kuna or Kona or however you say it. And he said, if you hear anybody in the white positive sphere talking about violence, turn them over to the authorities. Call the police on them. Now, Red Ice and the Great Order and a lot of people work with this guy, promote this guy. And he's talking about and encouraging his listeners to work with the police against other white people. Hard stop. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what excuses you try to make. You never, ever, ever work with the police. If you think there is some kind of magic circumstance that allows you to call the police on somebody because they said some things that scared you or whatever, you're a traitor to your people. You don't know who the enemy is. You don't even know what game you're playing, much less what the rules are. There is no conceivable situation or circumstance where it's okay for you to jot down somebody's information and give it to the police. None. You know, I've got a long history of having conflicting positions with Jason. I tried a few years ago to have a constructive conversation with him. I recorded a little audio presentation I shared with the Great Order, and I tried to get in front of Jason, but I never got any kind of response from him. So keep in mind as you listen to this, this was not about the issue of calling the police. Like I say, there's a long history of disagreement here. That, to me, is unforgivable. You're a traitor. End of story. But it might be useful to hear what the foundational disagreement comes from, because this is what he's talking about when he's talking about people who are calling for violence, which we're not. But he's such a chicken shit that any kind of legitimate resistance to him sounds like violence. So here's my original fig leaf that I had extended to Jason so that we could try to nip this in the bud before it got to the point where Jason started telling his listeners to call the police on other white people. This is what happens when you don't address other people's concerns. When you don't have the conversation, things escalate to a point where you get completely written off. And that's the point I find myself at with Jason, No White Guilt. I have to start by saying, Jason, I think you do amazing work. I think the Going Free program and the entire message of No White Guilt is spot on. That being said, it's incomplete. It's not an end unto itself. Yes, we absolutely must free our mind and unpollute our biospirit from the brainwashing the anti-whites have infected us all with. But then what? You ever seen that South Park episode with the underpants gnomes? I've listened to hours of your podcast, and I have yet to hear anything about phase two. This is why I'm making this sort of rebuttal video. Hopefully, this will lead to a constructive conversation like good white men have always built the world upon, instead of the usual dismissal that we've been met with so far.
Robert asked about an individual who has created a political philosophy and a constitution.
You're talking about propertarianism and Kurt Doolittle here. Just say it. And in a very mocking tone. We don't have to talk down to each other. White men who might see something you don't aren't your enemies. I get that you're frustrated about what you've seen in this circle for years. I am too. But we gotta stop pissing on each other. That's why I started this with due and proper praise for your work on the psychological and spiritual side of our next evolution as a people. Please, if you hear this, hear me out with some respect.
and do I have thoughts on it? Well, I've actually, Robert, I've spoken on it quite a few times. And that is all taking place with inside the anti-white narrative.
And I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't see how you're right. I honestly can't see how the philosophy of reciprocity and the application of rule of law based specifically on Western culture and Western kind can be inside the anti-white narrative.
And therefore doomed to fail.
Doomed to fail? I really don't think you've taken the time to hear Kurt Doolittle or John Mark out, Jason. You've seen all the police bending the knee at the anti-whites, right? How do you think that makes the proud white members of their ranks feel? Obviously, the establishment hates us, and the NPCs feel how they are told to feel. And the orc minions chimping out in the streets is supported by the powers that be. But your average street cop and military dude? They're being forced to our side. They just need an excuse and a vision. That's not wishful thinking either. That's statistical data. They no longer feel protected by their paymasters. And their checks are being threatened now, too. We can encourage them to stand down, walk away, or even to defect. They all know that they dutifully pay their taxes, follow the law, and our enemy does not. Yes, the system has a raging hate boner for whites, and now they've added cops to that list. Good. Americans are steeped in revolution. What do you think the Brits called the Americans during the revolution? Terrorists, insurrectionists, traitors. It's who we are. Just look at the anti-white riots. Look at voter turnout. Most people have given up on this system. Watch what happens when whites start fighting back. You'll have first-person shooter gamer nerds, militia stockpilers, and well-trained retired military stepping out of the shadows to get their piece of the action. Our biospirit is going to reawaken exponentially.
Constitutions don't enforce themselves. Laws don't enforce themselves. They never have. They are created and enforced and broken by man.
No, they don't. But neither do mores or manners, or any concept for that matter. As with everything, we need men to enforce the proposed new rules. Men who have gone free and who are largely free from mean pathogens. There's an old adage I like to remember. Those guys with the tiny hats, they're either at your throat or at your feet.
So all you're doing when you sit down to draw up a flag or draw up a constitution, and irrespective of how many people you cite in the drawing up of your constitution as having influenced the creation in some theoretical or philosophical way, you've done nothing but doodle. You've done nothing but piss away the lives of our children. It's an absolute waste of time. Nothing will come of it.
Yes and no. Physically, you've done nothing. But spiritually and psychologically, you've manifested our biospirit. And with those writings, you can show other white men that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, would you consider your works like Going Free and Prometheus Rising to be nothing but doodle? And an absolute waste of time? I certainly don't. They are workbooks to get us from where we are to where we want to be. And if you want something to come of it, will it happen if we just go free, help others to go free, and then get outvoted due to demographic replacement? To have no power over our environment by 2040? Because that's the future, Jason. What's your plan? I guess that's what I'm really trying to get at here. What's the step after going free? I get there's a lot you can't say on YouTube, and I respect that. It's amazing that you still have a channel. But do you have a vision, a plan, a way to 14? What I see is you pissing on the only really viable, real-world, actionable plans that do exist. I'm talking about the Northwest Imperative and propertarianism.
Those who are engaged in it are relying upon their two veins. One vein is there'll be some magical army that will appear out of nowhere, the army of the dead, and they will save us from this.
Army of the dead? I'm alive, brother. So are you. So is Mark, so is Jared, so is Heinrich, And so are thousands upon thousands of white men who have already gone free. And there's hundreds more every day. With the work you do and the behavior of the anti-whites on full display, all white men really need is to have a vision for the future that they can have if they're willing to work for it, to fight for it, and to put themselves at some risk for it. It's how you sell anything, Jason. You know this. You have to paint a picture of where the world will be after the hard work is done. No magic needed, just elbow grease and a goal. Are you saying you wouldn't join your brothers if the proxy war on whites went live?
Well, isn't that a wonderful way to get you to sit on your ass? To get you to not do the hard work of recapturing our destiny? Sounds kind of like the exact sort of thing that anti-whites would want you to do. Not saying that this person or any of the others who are advocating such things that they are in the employ, but it is very reminiscent. The result is the same. Sit down, do nothing.
No, we aren't just sitting on our asses. We are networking. We are building a community. We are stockpiling our supply closets for a long, hard winter. We are moving closer to each other so that we can be of service to our brothers and sisters. We are inspiring others to go free. And we have some real-world happenings that I'm not going to broadcast. Men act. We don't just sit and complain. Are there saboteurs in our midst? Maybe. Maybe you're a saboteur. I don't think so, and I don't like making the insinuation because I really don't believe it, but you haven't told us yet how we're going to recapture our destiny. It can't be simply to free our minds because they can still chain our bodies.
Like the Q, the low IQ phenomenon. Do nothing. Sit down and wait, because an army of the dead is going to appear and save us all. All you have to do is read up on the new constitution, read up on the new places where Q symbols have been found, and just wait, because it's coming. You're actually doing something by engaging in this bit of fun, maybe even drawing up a new map on the board.
Q. Q is a replacement for Jesus for Christian boomers who have lost their faith but not their dogma. You know this as well as I do. It's fake and gay, as the wonderful folks over at Murdoch Murdoch would say. The comparison is frankly insulting. We are honest, sincere white men fighting for the survival of our people. Not a bunch of rascal scooter-riding, Jesus, McConstitution, hamburger nationalists.
I mean, these are children.
You're not one of those people who think we're going to magically retain, as white men with any pride, the entirety of this landmass that we call America, are you? Sorry, Jason. America died in 1912. We can stop mourning now. Maybe, just maybe, I'd say that we can have every inch of America as was intended, if you had ever given a how. I've gone free, Jason. Now what? Help others? Okay. Then what? Get outvoted? Get murdered because we don't have the right skin color for the new majority? What are we supposed to do to secure the existence of our people and a future for white children? It's not an easy question to answer, so I don't blame you for avoiding it. But hey, I'm in the AP class for going free, and I need to know when the final is and what material is going to be covered. Children. Kurt Doolittle is not a child, brother. That's a grown-ass man that has a brilliant mind and has put a ton of work into 14. Show a little respect and do a rebuttal, not some cheap ad hominem. Dude, we need to do better than this. We have a road that we are all going to have to travel together in a long, long way before we get home. Gotta work together, man.
And then, of course, the other vein is to attempt to initiate some sort of violence.
No one in propertarianism is advocating any violence that's outside of our God-given right, which was merely recognized in our Constitution, to defend ourselves and to have a government for the people and by the people, people of the winter, people of the north, western kind, white people, our Volk. I'll address violence in a second, but first I gotta ask, what is your peaceful solution? How do we peacefully keep the destroyers from destroying? If you can't give us a how, it's sad to piss on other people's how. Okay, so violence. We not only have the right to feed the tree of liberty with the blood of tyrants and patriots, we have the obligation. And if all other options have been exhausted to resist the progress of the anti-white machine, we must throw our bodies upon the gears, if you'll forgive me paraphrasing Berkeley comments. The idea is to make the non-negotiable demand of sovereignty, and when or if we are denied, to earn it. What's your idea?
And anybody advocating you to do that, you need to be nothing but, as we say down home, be asses and elbows. Run from that person as quick as you can. The United States government and all of the other governments of the West specialize in setting traps for violent people. They justify those programs by saying that if we don't ensnare these people, then they will end up carrying out some violent acts. And so as the government of whatever country, we have to ensnare them with these traps. And then we can monitor them and we can watch them and we can make sure that they don't do bad things. Well, of course, the problem is that they are ensnaring a great many of folks who should be active right now, who should be out there spreading Going Free, who should be reading Prometheus Rising and getting a better understanding of who we are as a people, spiritually as well as physically. So it's an absolute abject waste of time. That's what it is.
Yeah, we're rebels. We're revolutionaries. Not because we hate America or our founding fathers or their ideals or even want to hurt anybody or enslave anybody. I'm sure you've heard this before, but humor a cliche. There's two types of people in this world. People who just want to be left alone and the people who won't leave them alone. Okay? How are we going to get those people to leave us alone, Jason? If all other avenues have been denied us, and they have, just look at the last 100 years of whites in America, how do we go free in our bodies if not through self-defense? I'm as free in my mind as a white man can be in this country. But my taxes still get paid, and my government decided way before I was born that it serves another tribe. And 70-some-odd years ago, it put into place an immigration system that has us nearly outnumbered, and in a quasi-democracy, outnumbered is game over for peaceful solutions. If you don't have a magical, peaceful way to rid this land of parasites, the question comes down to, do you want to die on your feet or live on your knees?
Don't draw up constitutions. Don't ever think about writing down the bylaws of some new group. Don't do anything so dickless as those things, as getting out a map and putting it on the wall and trying to draw the lines out of the new state you will create or the way that you will organize your government once the government or whatever Western country has given you a land mass. This is for retards. This is not for serious people. This is not for adults.
No, don't envision a future where your daughters can be safe from roving anti-white rape gangs. That's dickless and retarded. No, don't design an executable plan to free yourself from tax slavery to non-whites. That's dickless retard stuff. No, don't figure out the least violent way to secure the existence of your people and a future for white children. You'd have to be a dickless retard to do that. Jesus, Jason. That's some ugly rhetoric to use against white men willing to sacrifice themselves for the tribe. You talk about what you live for, but here's a better question. What will you die for?
And if the folks in charge of any of these things are highly educated and they otherwise speak intelligently and they're not making money off of you or it's not a big ego boost or something, it is a trap. It's meant to get your name. It's meant to put you under strict surveillance.
You don't think anyone who watches your channel or buys your books or searches for wrong thinkers like George Rockwell or William Pierce or David Lane aren't already on the list? Do you think that you're somehow under the Google CIA radar? Or are you saying that if they know you won't do anything to resist your enslavement, that you've demonstrated that you will live on your knees, that you'll be spared the gulags? What's your vision for the future? Where are the white men and women who have gone free going to be in 20 years, 40 years, keeping their heads low enough to the ground to avoid the sickle? Is that really free? Is it even alive?
And I tell you this, we're coming to a time when they're very easily going to just say, okay, every person who is on these lists, no buy, and by no buy, I mean no right to self-defense. They will red flag your firearms away from you. No fly. You'll be no air travel for you. Maybe not even travel on rail either. Your life will be utterly ruined.
But you and your audience will be safe. How? I'd really like to know how no white guilt fares when the cards are shut off and the country your fathers built is denied to you. When your voice is taken away and your ability to provide for yourself is stripped away, will it be time to fight then? Or are you just going to go gentle into that good night? Hey, maybe you can start a peaceful insurrection from behind the gulag walls.
So get as far away from such people as possible.
And then what? Hate to break it to you, but you, me, your audience, Kurt Doolittle, John Mark, Red Ice, everybody who's ever been loosely associated with the white positive sphere is going to suffer the same fate. Maybe you haven't grasped the magnitude of the problem yet? The hatred and jealousy of our enemies? How bad things are really going to get? Do you think that your counter-signaling will spare you from the hangman? You are my brother, Jason, and in the minds of the anti-whites, we are equally guilty. What you're doing is undermining confidence, really. And confidence, knowing you will win, is the most important factor in winning. There is literally no way we can lose if we maintain our confidence. Freedom ain't free, Jason. A relatively small number of men can force the paper tiger that is American might to its knees. These anti-white riots have proved that the government and their useful race idiots are cowards. The second we show strength and confidence, we'll have already won. If we don't hang together, we will surely be hung separately.
This is no longer the time. This is well beyond the time. For sure. And anybody that's, you know, really come away from it if you have intelligence, and if not, then just go back and drool over your maps and drool over your constitution and just play rebellion. Just go play with the other kids. Get away from the adult table.
It's the basic question one must ask himself when trying to make any decision, comparison, or choose any course of action. What's the alternative?
You know, the police, the feds, they exist explicitly for one purpose. That's to enforce the current globo-homo political regime by cooking up bullshit to arrest innocent white people. That is their raison d'etre. It's their only reason to exist is to do harm to you and to your family. They don't have any other purpose. If someone in your circle is acting like a retard by spouting off stuff in a group with a potential fed, you verbalize to them very loudly and very clearly so the microphone can pick it up. Nobody is doing anything like that, Bill. Shut the hell up. You're not coming home to do violence. You're coming home to build community. But if the feds want you bad enough, they'll create fake evidence and force a plea deal on you either way. So you're never really safe. But talking to those monsters in an attempt to save your own skin, that's traitorous. There is never a reason to talk. You have five words that you ever say, and you say it from the day they knock on your door to the day you get released if it goes that far. And any lawyer will tell you that these are the only five words you ever say. I have nothing to say. It's a mantra. Learn it, understand it. Make it a part of your being. Getting involved in saving your race against these monsters means incurring risk, and this is just one of those variables that you have to factor in, and then you soldier on. I have nothing to say.
Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you-know-what. For if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off to you-know-where, for you wouldn't know how long. So for you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you-know-what. For if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off to you-know-where, for you wouldn't know how long. So for you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. You all know what I'm speaking of when I mention you-know-what. And I fear it's very dangerous to even mention that. For the other ones are always heeding, though you may not see. And if anyone asks who told you that, please don't mention me. Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you-know-what. For if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off to you-know-where, if you wouldn't know how long. So for you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Well, you all know who I'm speaking of when I mention you-know-who. But if you know who should hear you, you know what he'd do. So if you don't see me again, you'll know why I'm away. And if anyone asks you where I've gone, here's what you must say. Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you-know-what. For if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off to you-know-where, if you wouldn't know how long. So for you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Well, that's enough about so-and-so, not to mention such-and-such. I'd better end my song, I've already said too much. For the less you hear and the less you say, the less you'll go astray. And the less you think and the less you do, the more you'll hear them say. Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you-know-what. For if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off to you-know-where, for you wouldn't know how long. So for you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. Whatever you say, say nothing when you talk about you-know-what. For if you know who should hear you, you know what you'll get. They'll take you off to you-know-where, for you wouldn't know how long. So for you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. For you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. For you-know-who's sake, don't let anyone hear you singing this song.
Two of the young men who were in the homeland on their scouting trip volunteering for the party when Harold passed have been arrested in England for their pro-white work. The party is in communication with them now, and we're going to do everything we can, all of us, to make their lives a little easier. They've both been remanded on bail and both have state legal aid. The rules there mean that they have to be officially unemployed in order to receive any kind of defense. If they were to go back to work, the legal aid agency would seize their incomes and they'd be worse off than they are now on unemployment welfare. The state has also seized their passports during the raids on their homes in May, and that prevents them from leaving the country. It's really incredible. But they are actually being charged with terrorism offenses simply for uploading, among other items, the NVA attacks trailer by Colonel House. Apparently there was a whole undercover secret operation to seize these two young men. It was called Operation Hydronium, after they lifted podcasts allegedly by these two young men from the internet from June of 2020. We suspect that the police were being directed at the instigation of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, a group responsible for many other comrades, as well as many Muslims being systematically raided, arrested, and prosecuted in the UK for mere opinions voiced on the internet. During their first plea hearing at Westminster Magistrates Court, the presiding magistrate screamed at them both that they'd both face, quote, lengthy custodial sentences after they denied the charges against them. The charges are as follows. Count 1, between 3rd March 2019 and 9th February 2020, published statements, namely the podcast series Black Wolf Radio, intending members of the public to be directly or indirectly encouraged or otherwise induced to commit, prepare, or instigate acts of terrorism contrary to Section 1 of the Terrorism Act of 2006. Count 2. Between 14th April 2018 and 11th February 2020, provided a service to others, namely the Radicalization Library, enabling them to look, read, and listen to terrorist publications, intending an effect of this conduct to be a direct or indirect encouragement or other inducement to the commission, preparation, or instigation of acts of terrorism contrary to Section 2-1-A of the Terrorism Act of 2006. Very similar language is starting to creep into American law. The beast is angry, and it's lashing out. But all that means is that the beast is weak. Time to come home. I've already seen proposals for internal passports for interstate travel here in the United States. So if you're not in the homeland, once those get put in place, you might not be able to get here. Where there's a will, there's a way. But as it sits right now, there is nothing difficult or illegal about putting your belongings into a U-Haul, hitting the road, sleeping in nice, comfy hotel rooms as you drive from wherever you are with all of your stuff and set up your new life here in the homeland. That's all we've ever encouraged anybody to do outside of read the books and make yourself a better person. But if you wait, you may be fleeing wherever you are, trying to get to the homeland once it's illegal. You're not going to be able to bring all your fancy stuff with you. You may have nothing but the shirt on your back. And that's a lot harder of a way to start your life up here with your people. So really, really think about what the future holds. I know it's a big step, but it is not the monumental task that you guys make it out to be. Now, as for these young gentlemen in England, I have a Monero address for them to help with basic living expenses, and the party will provide that upon request. Shoot me an email, and I'll get that to you. And we should do everything we can to try to support these persecuted young white men who have been fighting for our people. What they've asked for from us is not to forget them, to send them letters while they serve their time, to honor their sacrifice and keep working toward a future where whites are not victimized, to follow the Butler Plan. They're scheduled to go on trial at Kingston Crown Court in May or June at the latest. And they would really appreciate any kind of moral support, prison mail, when and if they find themselves being incarcerated for offenses that simply don't exist in the United States because of the legal protections that are afforded to us by the First Amendment. So keep these young men in your thoughts and do whatever you can for them. The party will be. If you want to learn more about the case, I've linked an article on the Northwest Front Group on Gab. And if you can help them out, shoot me an email so I can give you their Monero address. It's radiofreenorthwest@protonmail.com. All right, well, that's about all the time we have this week. Radio Free Northwest is brought to you by the Northwest Front. You can reach the party on our website at northwestfront.info. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to have addressed on air, feel free to drop us an email at radiofreenorthwest@protonmail.com. We'll talk to you again next week. And until then, hail victory, comrades.